Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because we know that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. And we ask, Lord, that you shine that light in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. I'm going to do this as a Bible study today. And the subject is the role of the Holy Spirit and prophecy in our lives. You know, so that's what I'm going to cover. The role of the Holy Spirit and prophecy in our lives. And we're going to take it as a Bible study. And Bible study means, you know, kind of share many scriptures, speak from the heart, and so on, you know, and see what the Lord has to tell us. So, now, Holy Spirit and prophecy. I'm going to be talking about those two aspects today. And the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our life, the role that prophecy plays in our lives. Now, let's look at some of the things that Jesus promised around the Holy Spirit when he was talking to the disciples. When Jesus was about to leave, he said, look, if I don't go, he said, it's expedient for you that I go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. But when I go, I will send you another comforter. Praise the Lord. I want to see, let's look at a few things that he describes. We'll start here at John chapter 14. And I'm going to start here at verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, that's the comforter, is called the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. Now, I love the way that Jesus separated that. He's dwelling with you now, but he will be in you later on. Well, you know, we know that the in you part, he told them in Luke 24 and 49. You know, we know it happened when they came to the day of Pentecost. He said, look, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So right away we see that Jesus is talking about many things that will happen when receiving the Holy Ghost. Here he says, well, he's going to be in you. Next he says that you will receive power from on high. Well, let's see a few more things that he says. He's also called the comforter here that we read in John 14. So comforter, and that's something that he will do, you know, that will make him to be called comforter. He's the one that comforts us, and also be called your counselor. Praise the Lord. Now let's see, he said again in John chapter 15. Well, before I go to John 15, let me read verse 26 of this same chapter 14. He says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, I want you to begin to take myself doing as a Bible study. So we've already seen three things. Well, he said, you know, you may have the Holy Spirit with you, but Holy Spirit will be in you later on. So that's one thing. Now, he talked about endowment of power. You will receive power. See, endowment of power. He literally said the same thing in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. When they were asking him some questions, he was about to be taken up. And they said, well, will you at this time receive, you know, restore the kingdom to Israel? And so I said, don't worry about that right now. But you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, so we see that he has already mentioned the power twice. In Luke 24:49, here also in Acts 1 and 18 and 8, mentioning the power. That power that is to come upon you will come upon you after that you receive the Holy Ghost. And what is that power supposed to do? Well, it will make you become effective witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto all the othermost part of the earth. Now, so we see that. But back to John chapter 14 and 26. It says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So that's another thing that he will do. Teach you all things. We've already seen about four or five things now about the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you all things. And also, he will bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Since this is a Bible study, I may ask you questions at the end of this. And you have to be able to remember all these things that the Holy Spirit is supposed to do in our lives. Now, these are some of the things, you know, that the Holy Spirit is supposed to do in our lives. Now, we also know that there is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that Galatians chapter 5 talks about. Now, you can't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You know, so Holy Spirit will bear this fruit in us. It's not plural tense as in fruits. It's singular tense as in fruit. But nevertheless, it names nine attributes of that fruit. It talks about the, and this is a good lesson, this is a good memory verse for everybody. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and it talks about meekness, temperance. It's about nine different things there, and it all calls it fruit. Now, this man, he knows grammar, so not that he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's one fruit, you know, that has different attributes. And this is, these things come into our lives after we receive the Holy Spirit. You can't have the fruit if you are not having the Holy Spirit. Now, he also says that if we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. So we've seen so many things that the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. What about John chapter 15 and verse 26? Let's look at John 15, 26. Here's another thing that he says. And here are some easy things to help you remember. It's John 14, 26, and it's also John 15, 26. So those are two, you know, cardinal scriptures there. In 14, 26, what he's talking about there is the same thing that Apostle John writes about later on, the same John. He writes about it later on in his epistles. In the epistles, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, before I read this one, he says, the anointing that you have received is not a lie. It abides in you. And this same anointing will teach you all things. It is the truth and it's no lie. Because he is remembering the words of Jesus in John 14, 26. The Holy Spirit, he will bring, you know, lead you to all truth. He will teach you all things. He will show you what I've said before. He will remind you of all these things. Saying the same thing here. So we see the Holy Spirit is also the teacher. You know, he's also the one that guides us into all things. Well, let's see John 15, 26. We'll go there now. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. That's another thing. Holy Spirit will testify of him. Well, same thing like in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it will empower you to be an effective witness for Christ. You know, so we begin to see these things. These are all the things that the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. Now, what about John chapter 16 and verse 13? Now, all these chapters in the book of John, Jesus was speaking and he was talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. Now, he said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, this is the third time that's calling the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So that's another thing that he's doing. He's our guide. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, this part will lead me to prophecy, the role of prophecy in our lives. Now, we've been talking about all the things the Holy Spirit will do in our lives, and we're going to talk about the role of so-called prophecy in our lives. But before I go there, let me say that many of us, when we say we're looking for the Holy Spirit, you know, we are confused. And people are confused. Some people say, and there are some denominations that are even built around this. They say, well, you receive the Holy Spirit at conversion, and that's it. There's no more Holy Spirit. There's no more anything after that. Because you receive at conversion. Well, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, he dwelleth with you, but he shall be in you. So Jesus is separating those two things. If they are the same, there will be no need for him to say, he's dwelling with you now, and he will be in you later on. How many of you are still with me? It's a Bible study. Are you still with me? There's a difference between being with you and being in you. Now, in Acts chapter 19, the first six verses would illustrate this perfectly well. Paul, you know, at one point in time, he says that it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Now, Paul, he loved these Ephesus people. In fact, he wrote an incredible epistle to them that we call today the book of Ephesians. Wrote a lot of things there. And he said, look, when he found certain disciples there, in verse 2, he asked them a question. He said unto them, have you, now these were disciples. They were disciples. They were already believers. So Paul asked them a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? In other words, from the time you believed until now, have you received the Holy Ghost? Now, this will be a silly question if the Holy Spirit is only given a conversion. And then there is no other place. There is no other more Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit at conversion, and that's it. Then there is no need for Paul to ask this question to believers. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And what was the answer? Hello? Go back to that first verse, that second verse. What was the answer? They said unto him, we have not even so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. These were believers. They were already believers. So they said, we haven't even heard about Holy Ghost. And Paul was shocked. He said, unto what then were you baptized? I said, well, we were baptized unto John's baptism. Hey, look, we are John's disciples. We were baptized unto John's baptism. So Paul began to explain to me and said, look, I know. You might be confused about the baptism of John and this other thing that I'm talking about to you today. He said, look, John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance. Well, that's different than what I'm talking about. That's what you experienced. You went to Jordan, you were baptized in the water, maybe River Jordan, maybe someplace else. You know, and he said, well, John was telling you that you should believe on Christ who was coming after him. He said, that's what John did. Verse 5. But look at what Paul did afterwards. He said, but when these people heard this, they were actually convinced that there was something more than the baptism of John. So when they heard this, they said, wow. Well, we need to be baptized in this baptism thing that you're talking about. You know, whatever it is, you know, we've experienced the one of John. But Paul was explaining to them that, look, there's another kind of baptism which happens since the time you believe. From the time you believe, later on, get this baptism. So, oh, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And now verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. I'm going to talk about that prophecy in a minute. Prophesied. Now, Paul did not tell them that you are going to speak with tongues. He didn't tell them that. But what Paul said is that, look, you will receive the Holy Ghost. Now, today, unfortunately, many people that are looking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit are focused on speaking with tongues. And even I've seen people praying over people to receive the Holy Spirit that are literally teaching them how to speak with tongues. They just tell them, you know, just say this, blah, 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 say that, blah, 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 and whatever else. And they say, you receive the Holy Ghost. What is that? Paul wasn't telling them about speaking in tongues. Said that I receive the Holy Ghost. You leave that to the Holy Ghost. You focus on the Holy Ghost. The reason people have no power today that say they have the Holy Ghost, this church full of Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, people. Where is the power to raise the dead? Where is the power to cleanse the lepers? Where is the power to do this thing that Jesus said? Well, because we focus on speaking with tongues. So that once you speak in tongues, I mean, you pray some more, and then you pray some more. And finally, one day, you speak with tongues. Woo-hoo! Then you have arrived. See? And that's it. That's what everybody is doing. Now I've spoken in tongues. Now I've arrived. Now I can really crank up some things. But ladies and gentlemen, that's only the beginning. Hallelujah. It's only the beginning, you know, but it's a good place to start. Now, you will speak in tongues. Jesus already said that, you know, these signs, Matthew 16 and Mark 16, follow them that believe on me. They shall speak with new tongues. That's already going to be there. But when you are getting the Holy Ghost, Jesus wasn't talking about speaking with tongues. He was talking about all these 10 things that I've already mentioned. Holy Spirit will be your guide. He will be your instructor. He will reveal things to you to come. He will take, you know, show you into all truth. He will guide you. He will tell you, he will remind you of things, you know, that I have told you before. You will receive endowment of power. You will become my witnesses. These are all the things that Jesus was emphasizing. He wasn't emphasizing the tongues. He spoke about the tongues one time. He just left it there. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, let's get this straight. And on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come in Acts chapter 2, where they were in one accord in one place waiting for the promise of the Father, you know, I don't think that they were necessarily looking for tongues. They were just there, you know, thinking that something is going to happen. We are going to receive the endowment of power. We're going to receive something that's going to energize us. It's going to ignite something in us. Peter was one of those people that are waiting. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, was waiting there as well. You know, if Mary needs to receive the Holy Ghost, if people who say Mary is anything today, they need to receive the Holy Ghost as well. Mary was one of those people that were waiting to receive the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost came upon them on that day,
What happened?
Well, there were cloven tongues of fire that appeared to them.
They were not looking for that.
They were just waiting to receive the endowment of power. But it happened. And when it happened, they spoke with tongues.
As
the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now read that in verse 4. The Holy Spirit is what gave them utterance. Not somebody teaching them how to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And they were magnifying, they were speaking the wonderful works of God. In fact, they were speaking tongues that were not gibberish. Because they are getting Jews from everywhere. And they said, how is it that are these people that speak not all, you know, Galileans or whoever, you know, Judeans or whatever, why are we now hearing what they are saying in our own language? We're understanding what they are saying. Praise the Lord. They're hearing them speak, you know, the marvelous works of God. Now, of course, we know that there are tongues of angels, and there are tongues of this and tongues of that. But the point here is this. If you are going to speak in tongues at all, which you should, and every believer will, and everyone that was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Bible did, so we know it comes with that. But you should not focus on being taught of men on how to speak with tongues. As a matter of fact, if you go to some local fellowships, small prayer rooms where people are praying for the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is listen. Every one of them speaks in tongues the same way. Why? Because one person speaks in tongues, they all copy, you know, and everybody speaks in tongues. And they say, oh, we speak in tongues. I'm not making light of this, but this is serious business. You know, this is serious business. Speaking in tongues is not about copying to speak in tongues. That's why there is no power. It is as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And it's a powerful thing if you know how to do it. You know, and then there is even more with speaking in tongues. There is diverse. Speaking in tongues is not one of the gifts of the Spirit. Speaking in tongues is for every believer. The gifts of the Spirit that's associated with speaking in tongues is called two of them actually, diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of those diverse kinds of tongues. Those are the gifts. So the person that has the gift of diverse kinds of tongues, they can actually speak in multiple tongues. And, you know, they have interpretation, they can interpret, you know, those things too. Now, this is not a subject on the gifts of the Spirit, so I won't dwell too much on that. I'll leave that there. Now, one of the things that Jesus said, which I love very well, is in John chapter 16 and verse 13. And I want to bring up a revelation for us here. Here are some of the things he said. Spirit of truth, when he's come, guide you to all truth. We know that. Do not speak of himself. Whatever you shall hear, he shall speak and he shall show you things to come. Let's talk about the showing you things to come, which could be prophecy. But it could also be something else. Let me talk about the something else first before I talk about the prophecy. But the title of this lesson is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and also the role of prophecy in our lives. Now, Holy Spirit, you know, nobody can actually be saved without, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. We know that. So that's why he said the Holy Spirit is with you. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to bring you to the cross. There's no other way you can do it. You know. But then later on, you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then he's in you. And whosoever does not have this Spirit of God, which in Romans chapter 8 verses 11 and so forth to 14 is talking about this Holy Spirit. If that Holy Spirit is in you, and if it's not in you, you know, right? First, if it's in you, he said, what will happen if it's in you? Well, quicken your mortal bodies. That's another role of the Holy Spirit. Quicken your mortal body. This mortal body that doesn't love God, quicken means make alive. you know, that body is dead because of sin. Holy Spirit will come made alive unto God. You know, now you find out that the spirit now becomes willing, it's now alive, and now your spirit is now aligned with the Spirit of God. The flesh was trying to go in the opposite direction. It's dead now, crucified with Christ. Now the Holy Spirit in you is alive and well. Now, you read this to verse 14, it will tell you that, look, in verse 14 of Romans 8, can you put that up, verse 14? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if, let's read the next verse as well, you know, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear, but it's our Holy Spirit of that brings us into sonship. It actually makes you recognize that you're now a child of God. And you can call him Father. These are the things the Holy Spirit does as well. Verse 16. The Spirit Himself is what I just said. Bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, let's keep reading. And if we are children, then we are heirs. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will make you realize that you are a child of God. You are a child of God, a saint, not a sinner anymore. All those epistles were written to the saints at Ephesus, the saints at Colossae, the saints at Philippi, the saints at Corinth. They were called saints. They were never called sinners. You know, sinners, yes, but that was then. This is now. Can you say praise the Lord? So don't refer to yourself as sinners anymore. There are some people trying to be so pious and so humble. Say, oh Lord, we are miserable sinners. You know, and all of these things. You know, how long are we going to be miserable sinners? You know? We were sinners, but while we were yet sinners, past tense, hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But that was while we were yet sinners. Now, we are in Him. We are alive in Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we are no longer sinners. You call yourself sinner, then you behave like a sinner. Call yourself a child of God, you behave like a child of God. Hallelujah. We are a child of God. And actually, we are moving from being child of God all the time. We are moving to sons of God. Coming from childhood to sonship. Hallelujah. But at least, no more sinners. No. Christ has dealt with the sin nature. And the Holy Spirit is the one that brings that work to perfection in our lives. Christ did it. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And He has imputed that to us. Now, back to, that was 2 Corinthians 5:21, by the way. Now, back to John chapter 16 and verse 13. Show you things to come. Two ways that we're going to deal with that. It's Bible study. The first way is this. Now, if you believe this and you can receive it, it work tremendously for you. It has worked for me. I actually allow the Holy Spirit to show me the answer to my prayer before I receive the prayer. It's things to come. He didn't say which things He will show you things to come. It's not only what will happen in the world, on the world scene, and what will happen in, you know, global scene. That's not the only thing the Holy Spirit can reveal. The Holy Spirit can reveal the answer to your prayer. That's right. You can see yourself, you know, if you are sick today, you can see yourself here. The Holy Spirit will show you that. And once He shows you that, you latch on to that, you align yourself with what the Holy Spirit already showed you. Glory to God. And it's coming to pass. Amen. It's a powerful revelation if you can receive it. You know, I use it when I'm really believing God for some things. Allow the Holy Spirit to show me those things. Hallelujah. He shows it to me. There are things to come. Show it to you. So I will show you things to come.
Well,
what do you believe in God for? Let the Holy Spirit show it to you. Once the Holy Spirit shows it to you, you latch on to it and say, hallelujah. And it becomes a reality. Hallelujah. It will become a reality. It will show you things to come. Now, moving into the role of prophecy. There are many things that prophecy will do for us in our lives. Here's one. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. Here's what he said to Timothy. He said, look, I want you, chapter 1 verse 18, I want you to remember those prophecies that went before on you. Those are prophecies. So that you might be able to war a good warfare by those prophecies. Now, you say, what does that mean? Well, what it means is, when you receive the word of the Lord. Now, remember what I call prophetic prayers. I've thought about it and I've used it here on this part. A prophetic prayer is when you take the word of God, the promise of the word of God, you latch onto it and you use it in your prayer. It becomes prophetic. Because God already said it. What God already says is prophetic. Now let me make a difference between prophecy from the Holy Spirit and prediction from man. God doesn't predict anything. Hello? God foretells the future. And the Holy Spirit tells us things to come. He shows us things to come. Holy Spirit doesn't need to predict anything. He already knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Prediction is guesswork. In fact, in science, you know, the meteorologists, those who do the weather, I say, well, the weather doesn't agree with me today. Well, I never agree with me. You know, they come out and say, some of them always say, it's cloudy, it's this, it's that. That's the only thing. Sometimes they'll say, you have a 20% chance of rain. What does it really mean? Let me tell you what it means. They have a statistical model that they use to computers. And they gather, you know, conditions that are like this. For the last, say, 100 years or whatever, however, when the conditions are just like this, the winds are coming from the east, this is like this, the clouds are like this, the temperature is like this, the humidity is like this, and all of that, you know, if all those conditions are the same, out of 100 times when all those conditions were the same, it rained 20 times. So now they will predict that we see the same conditions now. Therefore, there is a 20% chance of rain. It's a statistical model. It's scientific.
But it's still a prediction.
When God tells you it's going to rain, it's going to rain. Hallelujah. It's not that he needs to tell you, well, maybe 20 times out of 100, when I tell you, it might rain. No. If God says it's going to rain, it's going to rain. Praise the Lord. And you yourself, you know, arming yourself with these precious promises, you can begin to develop yourself into God's divine nature. To the point where you yourself, someday, you can say, it's going to rain.
And it will rain.
Praise the Lord. Well, prophecies can be used to help you to war a good warfare. The Lord already told you. Now, this Bible is prophetic. When the Lord said, look, I sent my word and healed it. You know, I will heal you. I will send you a cure. And many, many promises. Like, you can take any of those and use them for yourself. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will even give you a point blank word. He gives you a point blank. He might send it to your spirit. He might show it to you in a dream. He might even send it to somebody. Doesn't matter. However it comes, it will not be, if it's from the Holy Spirit, you know, when we give voice to what the Holy Spirit is saying and telling us, we call it prophecy. You know, that's why we call it prophecy. But according to Revelation 19 and verse 10, the spirit of prophecy, you know, in other words, the motivation that is behind prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Now,
What is the testimony of Jesus?
This word of God. So Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 says, when somebody speaks anything, then it says prophecy. If it is not according to this, can you put up Isaiah 8:20 for me? Maybe I'm going too fast. Catch up with me. Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, then it's because there's no light in them. Then you don't need to be afraid of them. If somebody says they speak something in the name of the Lord and it's not according to the word, it doesn't matter. Even you yourself, even your own spirit, your own mind may tell you things that's not according to the word of God. It's because there is no light in that moment. So discard it. Hallelujah. Who is it that saith and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 37. If the Lord has not commanded it, you can say it up and down all you want. You know, it will not come to pass because the Lord has not commanded it. You know. Now, if you are trying to claim a promise, like I've said before, first of all, it's not a promise to you until you know that it was promised. Or unless you know what was promised, then it's not a promise. There are many hundreds of promises in this Bible. It's not a promise to you unless you know it was promised. You know, if somebody made a promise and you didn't know it was promised, then it's not a promise. Because you didn't even know about it. But once you know about it, see, that's the beginning, you know, of your miracle. And you latch onto it by faith. Because the word that was promised, if it's not missed by faith, doesn't do anybody any good. But when God gives you revelation by the word of God, He can do it for many reasons. He can show you your healing that is coming. He can show you your baby that you are going to carry. Hallelujah. He can show you the job that you are going to get. He can show you all of these things. He can show you your husband, your wife. He can show you all these things. You know, he can show you things to come. But God will also use prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3. It says, prophecy is for what? Can you put up it? Prophecy is for what? What? Edification and what? Exhortation and what? Comfort. We already heard that the Holy Spirit is a comforter. You know, so edification. What does that mean? Building up. You know, you say something is not edifying. Well, something is a waste of time. It's a letdown. It's not a builder up. It's not a lifter upper. Then it's not edifying. So for prophecy, we are told if you are prophesying to man, it's for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. You know, so Holy Spirit can bring those things. And you can prophesy to yourself, edify your own self, exhort your own self, comfort your own self. The Bible says, speak to your own selves with hymns, spiritual songs, all these things. You know, edify your own self. You can do that. You know. Now, prophecy can be used to save your life. Many examples in the Bible. The life of baby Jesus was saved by the angel that came and warned Joseph. You might call that prophecy, because it's foretelling the future. So I'm going to the foretelling part now. He said, look, I want you to take Mary and the young child and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again, because there are those that will seek the young child's life to try to kill him. Is that even gotten to that point yet? God is already warning ahead. You know, somebody, you know, this man, this Herod man, is going to try to seek the life of this child to destroy it. So, carry the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I come and give you word again. Hallelujah! God can even do that for Jesus. What about you? You know, many times throughout the Bible, we've seen that God will use prophecy for telling the future to encourage the people. He would say, tomorrow. Tomorrow, you know, like in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, say, tomorrow, go down to such and such a place. Don't worry about it. The Lord will fight for you. Tomorrow, you go down and the Lord will be with you. Now, why does he say tomorrow? Well, immediately he says tomorrow, that's future. Because it's not today. He said tomorrow. So tomorrow, an even that you know, Moses said, the Egyptians you see today, you will not see them anymore tomorrow. That's also future. And that's edifying. That's to comfort them. That's to exhort them. That's to build up their faith. But Jesus said, tomorrow, you go down there. God said to them, and I'll give you the victory for tomorrow. But he says tomorrow to allow you time today to worship. Hallelujah. When you hear good news from the Holy Spirit, it's now time for you to worship. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He spent the day worshiping, waiting for the tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll take care of what the Lord said will happen tomorrow. But today, I'm going to worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to assemble people who know how to praise the Lord. They're going to practice. And we're going to put them in front of the Bible. Because the Bible will take care, God will take care of the Bible tomorrow. But today, I'm worshiping. And I'm praising the Lord. Now, that's God telling you tomorrow. God can also say things like, read the story. There's a story in the book of 2 Kings chapter 7. And you know, in this place there had been the Syrians and so forth that cut off the water supply and the food supply and everything from Israel, right? And it so happened that the man of God, Elisha, said, look, enough of this already. He come out one day and he said, look, by this time tomorrow, I'm telling you tomorrow. Why didn't you just say today already? Just tell me today. Why tomorrow? Well, because God wants to tell you, behold, I have told you before. God wants to show you that he knows the tomorrow. He knows tomorrow. So he says, and let me tell you something that happened. And give it in comparison like this. I mean, how many of you know that gasoline prices are so high now? There are some places where it's like $5 a gallon, right? You know, around where I live, it's like $4 and some change, maybe quarter, maybe and a half. You know, assuming that it's $5 a gallon for gasoline. I mean, this is how incredible what this man said. He said, tomorrow, about this time, hallelujah, this gasoline, now I'm not prophesying, I'm just giving you an example to see the impact of such a thing he would have said. You know, he said, look, tomorrow by this time, this gasoline that is $5 a gallon right now will be sold at every gas station for a nickel. Wow. Hallelujah. Don't run away and say, Pastor, you have to prophesy that. I didn't prophesy that. I'm just using it as an illustration. For you to see the magnitude of what he said. And look, gasoline, $5 a gallon everywhere. But tomorrow, at every gas station, it will be illegal. He dropped it like that. So this man said, well, you know, I've heard of many things, but this one, even if the Lord, you see, now, be careful now when you come against the Lion of Judah. When he speaks his word, you better be careful. If you don't believe him, keep your mouth shut. Hallelujah. Just keep your mouth shut because he's not messing around. You know, when he spoke that word and he put it out there, and the man said, look, you know, everything is good. Don't give us false hopes. I mean, if God will even open the windows in heaven, can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody thinking and saying that even if God will open the windows of heaven, that this thing cannot be? Are you kidding me? God doesn't need to open any windows. He already said the word. Hallelujah. The word will sustain itself. End of story. God said it. That's it. It's going to happen. Now, if you don't believe it, that's on you. And the prophet said, is that a fact? He said, yeah. He said, well, okay. It is going to happen. You will see it, but you won't taste of it. Hallelujah. Well, read the story. After the four lepers did their thing and so on and so forth, and they came back to tell the people, and they went in a stampede, rush, mad rush. This same man who could have been chief of army staff, He was there trying to control the drought. They trampled him underfoot and they killed him. They died in the stampede. So the word of the Lord came upon him. Now, the word of God will come to pass. Amen. It's up to you whether you are going to eat of it or not. It's coming to pass. Now, so that's a role also of prophecy. The Lord can say to you, if you are a woman that's a widow instead of her, He can say to you, don't worry about it. You go and do as you said. But thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. When He brings that, thus saith the Lord like that, the barren of milk shall not waste, and the cruise of fire shall not fail, until the day that the Lord sent you. The woman didn't know anything about it, but she believed the word of God. So look, I perceive that you're a man of God. Because even before he said anything, he said, as the Lord thy God liveth. How did she know he was a man of God? As the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have anything in the house for this and that. You know, the word of prophecy, just like that. Many times, the word of prophecy will come to encourage you. But be warned now. There is word of prophecy that can also be a lie. Hallelujah. They are called enchantments and divinations. And you find them in Numbers 23:23. There is no enchantment. Hallelujah. Against the children of God. So is somebody an enchanter? And who are enchanters? People that don't wish you well. Enchanters, they are carrying tokens of liars. Which God said, I will frustrate. Hallelujah. Because my thoughts towards you, Jeremiah 29:11, they are for good. So the prophecy comes to me. You don't give me any prophecy, you better make sure it's good. If it's not good, keep your mouth shut. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to send it back to sender. I don't want it. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is no enchantment against Jacob. No divination against Israel. I will frustrate the tokens of the liars. You know tokens of liars? They will take your photo. They do things. They conjure things. They take your DNA. They conjure things. They are called tokens of liars. They mix so many things. We know about them in Africa. You know, I grew up around those things. But it never worked against me. Hallelujah. I had people in my family that were even doing it. You know, I mean, because we have this mixed family, you know, father married some woman before, this and that, and so, you know, do all kinds of things. Even when I didn't know the Lord, it didn't even work. Hallelujah. How much more now? Some people spend all their time worrying about somebody is doing this, somebody is doing that, you know. Somebody told me one time, said, look, I was coming, and they took a match, they struck the match, and they blew it. I said, so what? You can blow the match all you want. You can blow your match. You can cover anything you want. You know, no hand can cover my life. Hallelujah. I'm a shining star. You can do it. And be careful now what you do, because touching up my anointed, say the Lord. When you touch my anointed, say they are the apple of my hand. Hallelujah. You know, so look. You know, we need to know who we are. Do you know who you are? Are you constantly in fear? By, you know, Isaiah chapter 51 says, look, you are constantly in fear because of the fury of the oppressor. Where is the fury of the oppressor? God says in Job chapter 5 and verse 12, I will disappoint their devices. Hallelujah. So that their hands cannot perform any of their enterprise. It's not that they don't have enterprise. It's not that they don't have devices. They have all those things. But I will disappoint them. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. So, don't fall for any of those prophecies. They are useless, you know, over you. But they use fear as the portal. And that's how witchcraft works. Control your mind through fear. Once they get in there, oh my goodness, you're finished. It's the same thing, you know. No matter what comes your way, even if it comes from a man of God, that is known to be a man of God, And if it is not according to your wellness, reject it.
Amen.
We saw the story in Hezekiah. Isaiah, who was a man of God, and it was indeed God that sent Isaiah. Isaiah was not walking under a lion's feet. God actually sent him. Go and tell Hezekiah. You can read it in chapter 36 of Isaiah. Go and tell Hezekiah that, look, he's not going to live. He's going to die. You know, and so, because of this sickness that he's on. But when the man came and told him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, because you will not recover from this sickness. Will you show you that? Now, that's a role of prophecy. Sometimes prophecy also can reveal to you a bad thing that was going to happen. Hello? And instead of you just accepting it, you say, well, now I know what would have happened. But, if I have anything to say about that, Hezekiah turned his face to the Lord and he made his case. He said, now, Lord, remember how I have walked before you in the integrity of my heart. Can you say that? Hallelujah. And he said, Lord, I'm not ready to die yet. You know, this thing, I know it's you that said it, but I reject it. Hallelujah. Don't put it in the Bible for us. And he rejected it. He said, I know. And God said, and he said, Isaiah left. I was walking out of the palace. And he was in the court. This man didn't waste any time. While Isaiah was still in the court, the word of God came back to him. I want you to turn right back. See why? Go back. Hallelujah. Go back. You know, hallelujah. And he went back, and the Lord said, I will add 15 years. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, he could have said, well, it came from a noted prophet. Well, so what? It comes from a noted prophet or whatever, it's not according to your wellness, you reject it. Amen. We've seen that example already. You reject it. And you stay with the word of God. Because the role of prophecy is to guide you and to keep you from evil. Don't let some other older prophets deceive you. We read that story in 1 Kings chapter 13. The young prophet, he stayed with the word of God. The king could not dissuade him. But the Lord said, don't turn back, don't do this. That's fine. But when an older prophet came along, he said, well, I'm also an old prophet. In fact, I'm a big brother. Hallelujah. I'm a bigger brother. You know, you got to respect me. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me to tell you. But he lied unto him. Now, don't sell out for some old prophet or some bigger brother. You stay with the word of God. Amen. The Lord already told you, stay right there with it. It doesn't matter what God told somebody else. That's it. You are responsible for what God told you, not what God told them. I won't tell people. I don't know. People are always worrying about what God told somebody else. If God wants to tell me, let him tell me. Am I a bastard that he can't speak to me? Hallelujah. I'm not responsible for what God told you about me. If God wants to tell me, he will tell me. Now, if God tells you something good about me, I receive it. Hallelujah. But if you tell me, God told you something negative about me, I reject it. That's my standard. You may call it double standard, but that's it. That's the way it is. If it's all good, I take it. If it's not good, away with it. Hallelujah! Praise God. So, that's the way it is, and that's our lesson today. The role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you know, all those things that he said, those will do for us. And the role of prophecy. You know, I call it short because prophecy, when we begin to go into prophecy, we go into a lot of things. You know, I'm a person that loves the prophetic. And I said to us at the beginning of last year, towards the end of the year before and into this year, that God is now calling us to walk in that prophetic. Walking in the prophetic means you're not just looking for a prophetic word here and there. You yourself, glory to God. Holy Spirit is inside of you, and He will show you things to come. He will teach you. The anointing that is with you is already there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this last thing, and I will end here. If anybody, now if you are walking in the street, now this is for those who are walking in the street. If you are not walking in the street, people will bamboozle you all about this. But if you are walking in the spirit, it doesn't matter, you know, what God, what somebody else claims that God is telling them to tell you. It will only come as a confirmation. It cannot be the first time. God must tell it to you first, because you are a child of God. And don't be looking for prophetic word here and there. Look to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And He will speak directly to you. Now, does that diminish the role of prophecy? Absolutely not. For prophecy will confirm. You know, when Agabus went and saw cross girdle, he said, look, this man, whoever owns this girdle, when he gets to Jerusalem, they're going to tie him up. They're going to do all these things. Paul said, I will. Hallelujah. I already know, but that's not going to stop me. The man, he was not telling him anything new. Telling what he already knew. Hallelujah. You know, but he said, look, I know that, but I'm willing not only to be tied up, but also to give my life. Hallelujah. He was all sold out for Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, no, it is time for us to walk in the prophetic. When you're walking in the prophetic, it doesn't mean you're a prophet, but it means that you, the voice of the master of prophets is inside of you. Hallelujah. When you have the Holy Spirit, He's the master of all prophets. When He's inside of you, He will show you things to come. And He'll guide you. And sometimes He will tell you, don't go there. See, most of the time people don't listen. When the Holy Spirit says, and then there is regret. And sometimes people say, oh, something told me. It's not something. Ladies and gentlemen, get rid of that. It's the Holy Ghost that told you. It's not something. And then He'll tell you, don't go down there, take this road, don't go there, go this way. You know, and you say, oh. And the more you tune yourself, having your senses exercised, practicing His presence, practicing listening to His voice, it becomes a voice of prophecy to you. Hallelujah. But He has, first of all, He has given you this one. You must first of all obey what's inside here. If you don't obey what's inside here, you will be easily carried away by some other spoken thing. And even God cannot speak to you anything if you don't obey what's in here. So let's stand to our feet, ladies and gentlemen. That's our lesson today. The role, yeah, you can give the Lord a hand, like, hallelujah. The role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the role of prophecy. And prophecy can keep us from all kinds of things. I don't have time to go into it today. We have already been given prophecy and keeping us going right now. You know, many people don't even know it. You know, in the day of, Jesus said, the day of, is coming. It'll be like it was in the time of Noah. God spoke to Noah that the world was going to be destroyed by a flood. It was prophecy. Nobody believed it. Noah believed it. And because Noah believed it, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, that by that singular act that he believed God, he condemned the rest of the world. Hallelujah. Say, by faith, Noah, being warned of things of God, not as seen, moved with fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his household, by which act he condemned the world. And God will always have a remnant. The moment one person believes, everybody else is condemned that did not believe. And God was just waiting. God didn't have to wait 120 years. But that's how long it took Noah. That's how long it took Noah to build the ark. And God said, well, fine. But you are going to build the ark. I'm not building it for you. I'll show you where to find the wood and the timber, but you are building the ark. Hallelujah. God's not going to build the ark. You will build it. He'll give you the wood. He'll give you the timber. But you are going to build the ark. You know, and God waited for him. Took him that long. Fine. But the day he was ready, God said, you ready? He said, cool. Bring them in. You know, once he got it, God slammed the door. After that, nobody was laughing. Nobody was laughing. Ladies and gentlemen, don't laugh, don't mock at prophecy. Because when God closed the door to the ark, none of those people were laughing. They laughed at him and they mocked at him for years. It's never rained, you know. But when God says it's going to rain, it's going to rain. Let's lift our hands and pray. I want you to pray and say, Lord, the Holy Spirit that you gave me is not a lie. The anointing that he teaches and brings with me abides with me. And he can teach me all things. He can show me things to come. Embrace him today. Pray for yourself. Embrace the Holy Spirit as your personal guide through life. He will guide you into all truth. And he will show you things to come. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your own spirit that you are a child of God. Now, if your heart condemns you, then you need to go back to the drawing table. But when the Holy Spirit bears witness within you that you are a child of God, you give him all the praise and all the glory for what he has done. Going back to the table means go back to the cross and ask for forgiveness. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Praise him, may come. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that God has sent upon us to guide us into all truth. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. God has given us a sure word of prophecy even in this generation. Some of us are following it. Some others are not taking heed. We do well to take heed. It's as a shining light shining in our hearts until the day dawn and the day star arise. So ladies and gentlemen, God has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us. He has also given us prophetically the word of the Lord to guide us. And when we speak the word of the Holy Spirit, then we call it prophecy. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray that you enrich your word in the lives of all your children here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says, Amen. Amen.